The views and opinions expressed here are those of the guests, and are not the official position of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
The Mormon Channel presents Into All the World.
The vision will begin to be fulfilled.
Our membership is found throughout the world.
The New Zealanders and the Australians.
Sono felice di servire il Signore.
Vietnam, Cambodia, Thailand, Burma.
Five new temples.
Ni kupitia kwa imani.
Go ye into all the world.
The History of the Church in Cambodia. Many Cambodian refugees from the Vietnam War living in the United States joined the church in the 1970s. Cambodian branches of the church were also established in various metropolitan areas in other countries. The government of Cambodia granted legal recognition to the church on March 4, 1994. Since the early 1990s, the church has given millions of dollars in humanitarian aid and welfare support to the people of Cambodia. Current membership in Cambodia is 8,359.
Welcome to Into All the World, where we discuss missionary work around the world. I'm Tim Taggart, and joining me in the studio today are President Bob and Sister Marianne Weiniger, who have recently returned from the Cambodia Phnom Penh Mission. Welcome to our studio today.
Thank you, Tim. Good to be with you today.
It's a real delight to have you here. Why don't we begin by just talking a little bit about your background personally and your experiences and professional background before going into the mission field, and a little bit about your family.
Well, I served as a young man in the Southern Far East Mission in the day when it covered Hong Kong and Taiwan and the Philippines and all the rest of Asia. It was during the time of the Vietnam War, and the world was in a turmoil in that part of the world. When I was called, I reported to Hong Kong. President Keith E. Garner was serving as the mission president, and I was assigned at that time to serve in Taiwan. And I had an opportunity to serve in Manila for about a month, and then in Taiwan for about 7 months when Bangkok, Thailand, was opened for the preaching of the gospel. And six missionaries were called, five from Taiwan and one from Hong Kong. And we were asked to pick up and pack, and we were flown to Bangkok to start learning another language. And so we began the work of spreading the gospel in Thailand. During that time, Sister Weiniger was waiting for me back home and going to school. And we were high school sweethearts and spent a lot of time together, and decided that serving a mission was the most important thing that could be done. And so we decided we'd do that. And on my return, after being in Bangkok, Sister Weiniger was just getting ready to graduate from Weber State University, and I interrupted my studies at BYU to go to Weber State for a couple of quarters just to chase her a little bit and make sure everything was okay. And we were married just as she was graduating from Weber State. So,
great. So what have you done in your professional career?
I graduated from BYU, went back to BYU, graduated from BYU, and then went to dental school at the University of Oregon, became an officer in the Air Force, and served in the Air Force Dental Corps for 4 years, paying back scholarship, and served in, we with our family were in Omaha, Nebraska, at Offutt Air Force Base, SAC headquarters in Omaha, Nebraska. Then we returned and started our practice in the Layton-Kaysville area.
Great. Well, tell us a little bit about your family.
We have five children and 11 grandchildren. And we had two of those grandchildren born while we were on our mission. When we left all four of our parents in their late 80s when we went on our mission. And they were all here when we arrived home. One passed away shortly. President Weiniger's mother passed away shortly after we got home, but they were all here, and we were able to see them again.
Great. That's wonderful. Well, this mission must have been a marvelous and exciting opportunity. Tell us a little bit about the mission itself and the area of the mission and just some of the background on the Cambodian Phnom Penh mission.
The mission home, of course, is in the capital city of Cambodia, in Phnom Penh, and but the mission covers all of Cambodia and the country of Vietnam. Mm-hmm. Cambodia has been open for the preaching of the gospel since 1994, beginning first as a part of the Thailand mission, and then became a separate mission in about 1996. And we have, in Vietnam, in contrast, where we still are not fully recognized as a church in Vietnam, mm-hmm. we have received registration and have two branches officially registered, in one in Hanoi and one in Ho Chi Minh City, former Saigon.
Great.
And we have flourishing branches with those who are serving, Americans serving abroad in Vietnam, and a good many local Vietnamese people. And we were able to teach them in the buildings and help them to understand the gospel. In Cambodia, we have four districts, member districts, mm-hmm. three in the capital city, one in a small, medium-sized town up country in, mm-hmm. in Kampong Jam, a total of 17 branches associated with districts, and then we have 8 mission branches, mm-hmm. Most throughout Cambodia, but the 2 in Vietnam as well.
Excellent. You know, as I've traveled in Asia, there's been a lot of talk and of excitement about the mission in Cambodia and the growth there, and just some phenomenal things happening. What's been happening with the growth of the church in Cambodia?
Well, the growth of the church began fairly slowly, and then as things improved and as more missionaries were called, there was a period of time where Cambodia was growing at the rate of 1,200 baptisms per year.
Wow.
For 3 or 4 years.
That's incredible.
That was, I think, difficult to keep up with,
yeah.
With the branches and all, and it slowed down some mm-hmm. since then. And part of that is, I think, there were some new rules put in place about proselyting, mm-hmm. and the missionaries cannot knock on doors now, mm-hmm. but we do teach on the sidewalk and mm-hmm. walking and visiting with people, and we're free to do that. In most of the cities outside of the main city, nobody has doors. And so that's not a problem.
Yeah.
They can just walk by, and people will come to them and uh-huh. talk to them through their gates and fences. And,
uh-huh.
At this point, baptismal rate in Cambodia is between 400 and 500 a year.
Mm-hmm. How is it work as far as retention and church growth and establishing the church is going?
We are seeing a maturing of mm-hmm. the gospel in Cambodia, and many of the early converts to the church are now in their 40s and mm-hmm. some in their 50s, and they are learning how to care for the Lord's kingdom.
Yeah.
And as a result, we have in these districts, we have 2 of them are very close to becoming stakes, and we see many, many of the saints who are taking the lead now,
mm-hmm.
and the church is growing and strengthening. So we think that the church is being established. The kingdom is going forward. Mm-hmm. For a period of time, there was only one church building in all of Cambodia, and mm-hmm. it's a very large, beautiful building, and the church is known for that building. Mm-hmm. In the time that we were there, 3 other buildings have been built. Property's been built for or purchased for a building in Siem Reap and other areas up country. And so the members of the church are becoming active and involved, and the growth is there. And so we're seeing it, the church being established in a very real way.
Some of the second generation coming along.
Second generation are there, and they're strong.
Yeah, great. Great dynamic people, wonderful, warm-hearted people or members of the church in Cambodia. What a blessing to see what's happened in the lives of these people who have seen so much difficulty and hardship to be able to have the gospel and blossom in it. How is the church perceived among the people? What's the religious background there, and how is the church received?
In Cambodia, the official religion of the country by constitution, mm-hmm. it is Buddhism. Mm-hmm. Buddhism in Cambodia is quite different than Buddhism in Thailand. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a mix of Buddhism and Hinduism. With the difficulties, the civil war that it is referred to of the Khmer Rouge time, 75 mm-hmm. through 79 about, all religion was abolished. Mm-hmm. Families were all abolished. Families were separated, husbands and wives and children from their parents. And many lost their lives mm-hmm. and were never rejoined again as families. But the church, the Buddhist church and all religion was also destroyed mm-hmm. in that revolution. As a result, in 79 and into the 80s and 90s, then Buddhism became rekindled again. The people mm-hmm. began to look to religion again. And Christianity began to flourish again in Cambodia. The church entering in 1994, Christianity is understood somewhat by the people. And when they meet the missionaries, they understand a bit about mm-hmm. the message. And they are open to listening. And if their hearts are right, the missionaries find fertile soil.
Yeah.
And we find those who turn and say, I need to know about this. This sounds familiar to me.
Yeah.
And so many are joining the church because of that.
Yeah. And it's interesting that one would think that it would be difficult to bring someone into the gospel from such a different background. But in reality, we're all children of a Heavenly Father who loves us and answers our prayers, and He answers all of His children and loves them. And so you can see that change begin to occur. what are some of the particular challenges that come for the missionaries in approaching people in Cambodia? Are there things that are particularly difficult for the missionaries in teaching and finding people?
Oh, I think there's the fear of unknown things, as there is anywhere in the world. About half of our missionaries are from places other than Cambodia, and mm-hmm. about half are Cambodian saints uh-huh. Who have joined the church and are serving missions. There is some interest. That is a drawing thing mm-hmm. when the missionaries walk around and speak fluent Cambodian. People want to listen to them, and it's okay with us that's the reason they want to listen at first. Yeah. And as they begin to teach, I was going to go back to the root of Buddhism is trying to escape the sorrow and suffering of this life. And they don't really know who they are. They don't know of a Heavenly Father and the wonderful message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But if they will begin to listen, the missionaries begin to teach them the plan of salvation. And in each of them, because of this great light of Christ that is part of every being in this world, there is something within them. And when they learn that they are spirit offspring of a Heavenly Father who loves them, then there is an ember, if you will, that begins to brighten. And as they understand that and begin to accept that, then they, when you teach them about Christ and His role as the Son of God and the Savior, then tremendous hope comes into their lives that was almost gone in the Khmer Rouge yeah. time. And so this people who were so downtrodden, all of a sudden, there is new meaning to who they are. and what they can be. And so their lives begin to change. And if there is not so much of the world piled upon that ember that it can't breathe and begin to glow, then those are a little harder. You have to wait for a little while for that to surface.
Yeah.
But those whose lives are otherwise clean to a degree, that ember begins to glow and they begin to feel a reaffirmation of what they kind of already know is true. And so in a way, President Hinckley called the Vietnam War the silver thread in the dark tapestry of war.
Yeah.
And he referred to the work that was going on in Thailand and in Vietnam during my first mission. But it's still happening.
Yeah.
There is a silver thread in all that went through with this great people. And the Lord has prepared some wonderful people to receive the gospel and has schooled them in such a way that they are open to what is being taught.
Yeah. It seems to be a great time in the kingdom in Asia, it seems to me. We've come to expect the growth of the church in Latin America. But there was a period, 20, 30 years ago, when it wasn't that fruitful of a field. And you see that same sort of thing happening in Asia, where hearts are softened, where you have a culture that isn't necessarily oppressive, but there are traditions. But you begin to see, that basis of growth, that you can see marvelous things ahead for these people.
One thing that prevents a lot of people from accepting Christianity is because of the family organization in Buddhism, worship of ancestors and those kinds of things. And people say if you become a Christian, you must leave your family.
Hmm.
You must desert your family. And so families will fight for their sons and daughters, young adults and family members who want to join the church.
Mm-hmm.
And the missionaries carried with them always their four-generation sheet. And when they would begin to talk about family, they would say, well, you love your family, we love our families. In fact, we think families are so important that in the gospel of Jesus Christ, we can be with them eternally. And that's what we want.
Yeah.
Let me show you my family and how much I love them. And they have pictures of their family.
Uh-huh.
And so that is turning. It turns them to begin to understand. The parents who are a little bit reluctant for their young adults, college students and so on, to study the gospel. We try to have the missionaries meet with them.
Mm-hmm.
So that their parents can understand that this is not bad. And they talk about families and the support of families. And so it becomes rather than an obstacle, it becomes a stepping stone to their understanding of the gospel.
There's a connection there that I've always felt like we ought to use more, like you're saying, because, our connection with families through eternity seems to fit so naturally with that Asian feeling of importance of ancestors and that other sort of thing.
In Cambodia, with the loss of so many family, some there's only one left. They've lost mother and father and all siblings.
Hmm.
And then you present to them and say, you can be with these people through the ordinances of the house of the Lord. All of a sudden, life has new meaning, and it gives great solace and comfort to these great people.
What a powerful message the gospel brings to every land, to every kindred, tongue, and people. It's just marvelous. Tell us a little bit about the missionaries that are serving and the experiences that you had with them.
That is one of the most outstanding parts of being a mission president is the opportunity to rub shoulders with such valiant young men and women. And our experience with them was a great blessing to us because we could observe them timidly begin and then grow in their faithfulness, grow in their understanding of who they are, and to rise to a stature of men and women of God, not the college students they once were, but to become something much greater. And to watch them become that was one of the greatest blessings of our mission. Many of those young men and women who served from Cambodia, one of the greatest blessings of our mission was to try to establish the church through them. Mm-hmm. We had 2 years or 18 months to teach them how to function within the Church of Jesus Christ and how to bear off the kingdom. Mm-hmm. And we took the opportunity to train them and to assist them. And we had some of those young elders who finished their missions and within 6 months were branch presidents, counselors in branch presidencies, counselors in district presidencies, and shouldered the responsibilities with great honor.
Yeah.
And so through the mission, as we know as mission presidents, that the effect upon those young men and young women is far-reaching and is a great blessing.
Well, and what a foundation of leadership is created by their opportunity to serve in the mission. And I'm sure that was a blessing for you. Our program is Into All the World on the Mormon Channel. I'm Tim Taggart, and today we're speaking with President Bob and Sister Marianne Weiniger, who recently returned from the Cambodia Phnom Penh mission. And Sister Weiniger, what was your experience going on this mission? Have you served a mission before, and what were you expecting, and what was your experience?
I did not serve a mission as a young girl. Most of the young girls my age were not serving missions, but it was much harder than I thought it was going to be and more wonderful than I ever thought it would be. I just feel that it was a great privilege and honor to serve with these wonderful missionaries and be with these people who truly wanted to build Heavenly Father's kingdom in this little part of the world. And their optimism in the face of their past and their countenance, their smiles, was very inspiring. And I loved it. I truly did love it. It was hard to come home.
Yeah, I bet it was.
It was.
There are challenges that I'm sure are very, very interesting and challenging in being the mission mom in such a different culture and with a different language. How did that work out as far as the language and culture and the issues that you had to face with every day?
Well, we had half, as President Weiniger said, we had half from either America or Canada, a few Canadians, and then about half from Cambodia, and then some missionaries from Vietnam who were called to our mission. And so you had some of them who, from the time they were 4 years old, were putting away money to go on their mission and it was supporting of the, you know, their family. And then you had other elders and sisters who had only been in the church a little over a year. And it was a good combination for both of them. The language, the native missionaries helped the foreigners with the language, and the foreigners help the native missionaries with the church and how it's run, and things like that. So they helped each other, and the health issue I was mainly in charge of was sort of a challenge. They are getting better facilities there, but and we had the Bangkok Hospital that we sent serious cases to, but. I testify that there are miracles when you do all you can do.
Yeah.
And there's safety and help and protection.
And the Lord blesses his servants, you know, including mission presidents. what were some of the experiences that you had as far as seeing the hand of the Lord and that inspiration come to you in your calling as a mission president and watching over this work?
Wow, that's a there's too much to talk about there. I think one of the things that truly I think I leaned on a great deal in the mission was a statement made by Elder Ballard in our training. Mm-hmm. And he said, we've tried to teach you everything that we can teach you, but we can't teach you everything. But he says, I'll just promise you that you will know what to do. And there were occasions when we worked with governments and difficult challenges with some issues that came up that I felt like, as a mission president, walking the plank. Nobody there. And can attest that the promise was true. And escapes were given. And the right words were said. And the right things were done to bring about the proper purposes. The Lord is watching over His work throughout the world. And we found that in our time that He was very merciful to us and to the missionaries.
Yeah.
And when we sat, when I would sit and make decisions on where missionaries might serve and who might go open that new city and who might take the gospel to these people, and who might be their companions? His influence was always felt. So there is nothing that transpired in that mission that we did not feel a strengthening hand in that which took place.
Yeah, and there's no sense or no time when you feel like you're alone or at the helm.
No,
you feel like a conduit and a servant, don't you?
Yes.
Accomplishing that amazing work. Do you have any experiences that come to mind about converts to the church and stories that you might share of lives that were changed as they came into the gospel?
One that there are many. Again, that's we could take a couple of hours with that. But one that stands out maybe in my mind among so many others is I was sitting in early on in our mission, sitting in a sacrament meeting, and a sister got up and bore her testimony. And I did not know the sister, an older sister in her 50s, and came to find out that her husband was the branch president of the branch. But I didn't know the two were married then because I was not acquainted with them. But she bore her testimony and told of the trial of joining the church, that the missionaries found her and taught her about the Book of Mormon, and she began to read and she believed. But her husband was adamantly opposed to her studying the church and threatened to burn that Book of Mormon if he ever got his hands on it. And so this was in fast meeting, so she's telling all the members this story. And she said, I used to sleep with the Book of Mormon in my sleep clothes, under my sleep clothes, right against me, so that he could not find it while I slept. She said she proceeded and continued to meet with the missionaries. The missionaries would sometimes come to her home, and she said her husband would chase them with a knife out of the home. He's now the branch president. This is the man that's now the branch president. He, during this time, Cambodian people are visionary, dreaming people, and they have a lot of dreams that refer them and sustain what the missionaries are talking about. And he had a dream, and a man in white clothing appeared to him with the Book of Mormon and said, this is true. You study it and believe it. He did a drawing of it. I have the drawing that he made for me of that particular dream. And then he joined the church, and he put his knives away, and so there was no there was no problem. And he's now the branch president, and a fine and wonderful, wonderful, sensitive, loving man. The gospel of Jesus Christ has changed the two of them and their family in a remarkable, divine way.
What a great example of the Lord changing hearts and changing natures, and again, you see that second generation coming up nurtured in the primary and family home evening and having read the scriptures at home and the strength that they'll be as they rise up. Any experiences, Sister Winter, that come to mind about missionaries that you saw have a remarkable change while they were on their mission?
They all changed. I think we all changed from that experience. I love taking the local elders and sisters home. That's what we did. Sometimes we almost got lost. And once you get out of the main city, it's dirt roads and dirt roads here and there. And sometimes we'd have to have them get back in the car to lead us to the main road, and their parents would be all upset. You know, I thought their mission was over. But to see the confidence that they have in and their demeanor and how they carry themselves and preach the gospel. A lot of these sisters and elders from Cambodia and Vietnam, we would see before their missions. And as the stake president, sort of, because there was no stakes, yeah, we'd get them ready and be with them their whole mission and see them go home. Huh. And it was wonderful. And the things they did on their missions, and then you take most of them home to these very humble little houses, but they still have the glow.
Yeah.
And you know they're going to be all right. And you know they're going to help their families, those who are ready to join the church also. Some of them were the only members.
Mm-hmm.
And one particular elder, we had had a district conference on families, and he was riding home with us, and he said that made him sad because his family just didn't understand. And he said, well, then I'll be the one to start. And now he's married and has a little baby, married another return missionary. Mm. And it's wonderful to see the whole enlightenment happen in their lives.
Yeah. And there seems to be a change almost in culture happen because of possibilities. I had a person explained to me that through the experience with the Khmer Rouge and others who literally killed anyone with glasses or who had an education profession, that it was such a dampening of the whole desire to work hard and to be successful. Any comments on that experience and maybe how it might impact?
I think that's true. There are many who did not want to learn how to read. We have many in the members of the church who do not read their own language because mm-hmm. if they could read, they were like you say, they were executed in some cases. And so that fear still runs there. And the desire to excel is sort of dampened through the Buddhist culture as well. And mm-hmm. so when the gospel comes and we tell them who they can become and who they can become like and set that standard, then a change occurs. They begin to reach up. Yeah. President Hinckley says, marvelous things happen. They look to Christ and mm-hmm. come alive. And no more, I think, is that more prevalent mm-hmm. than in these nations where they have so much, so little to build on.
Mm-hmm.
That when the light breaks forth, boy, do they change. It is an amazing change. I'd like to mention, if I could, just one little sister that served with us, Sister Q. Sister Q was dripping wet, would probably weigh 65 pounds, and she was a very small young lady. And she was born on an island in the middle of the Mekong River.
Hmm.
And to get there, you had to take a boat and cross the ferry. And the missionaries tracked out this island and baptized her whole family.
Mm.
And she became a missionary, and she was just beginning when we began our mission. So we were able to serve with her the whole time. My first interview with her, I could not get eye contact. Her forehead was almost touching the table that was between us. And I literally had to bend over and kind of turn my head sidewise, Sister Q, to have her respond to me. She had very little self-assurance, and very timid in everything that she did. Over the period of the mission, being with good companions, she became one of the finest teachers of the gospel, and she became one of the most confident young women. We visited her and her family, one of the last ones we visited before we returned home, to see her in her little stilted wooden house out in the middle of the Mekong River, with the water rushing on either side, yeah. A beautiful setting. And that family is so proud of her. And she is such a great example of the gospel of Jesus Christ now. But a dramatic change was made in her life.
You know, and that increase in self-esteem does not come from comparing oneself with others. President Benson, in his talk about pride, talked about that true self-esteem comes from your relationship with Heavenly Father and knowing who you are. You can't explain that a transformation in any other terms. Of someone understanding their relationship with God and becoming a servant of the Lord and being empowered by that experience.
It was dramatic.
What a great example. And for the missionaries from America and Canada, I'm sure they had a transformative experience working with humble companions and them being humbled by, you know, the difficulty of learning a language. But also being in a cultural situation with companions. Any comments on that experience?
Most of them didn't want to go home either.
Yeah, I'm sure.
They were already planning their return trip. It's like you said, it's being confident in your calling and knowing that you have done all you can do as a servant of our Heavenly Father. And then knowing that you qualify for his help and the miracles and that wonderful feeling that all missionaries have. And every missionary we saw off to home, I don't think any of them really wanted to go. They didn't want to lose that feeling. They didn't want to lose those connections. Of course, you never do, but it's not the same as when you're fully engaged as a missionary. And we've had wonderful, wonderful missionaries from, we often thought, do we get all the best ones? That's how we felt. I know every mission president thinks that, but they were humbled by the language so much. And I saw some of them cry because they just didn't think they could do it. And by the end of their mission, they're talking fluently, writing that difficult script, and just a part of it.
Yeah. Well, what a blessing. You know, it's incredible because we're Heavenly Father's children, and He loves us all. But it's interesting how He grows each one of us, and He gives us the ability to help grow each other. And you see that, I think, in the mission field more than anywhere else. That has to be one of the great blessings of being a mission president, is seeing that kind of growth and being able to participate in it. What were zone conferences like as you went out and worked with the missionaries?
Zone conferences were regularly held, and we would hold them in different geographical locations throughout the mission. In Phnom Penh, we usually could hold them in one or two areas and get all the missionaries there, but up country, we were in very different places. But zone conferences were a delightful recharging time for missionaries. Mm-hmm. And the assistants, the zone leaders, without exception, taught with the Spirit. And they taught with great examples. And they instilled confidence in all of the missionaries that they could do it. We saw our role mainly to teach doctrine and to teach, to understand what they were teaching. There was so much of the local elders and sisters who did not know much doctrine when they came out. So we spent a lot of time with that, and we taught them. And it's not like the rest of us can't use that either, because that's always good for even the rest of us.
Exactly.
But zone conferences were a wonderful example of the Lord's hand in the work in preach my gospel and the guidance that comes through that and the blessings that come through those and personal interviews with the missionaries. Yeah. What a delightful time to learn together and feel things together one-on-one.
Yeah. And I'm sure that that spiritual growth that occurs as you work together like that, it was a blessing to everyone. And that washing of the Spirit as you come together and teach each other. As you look forward to the future of the church in Cambodia, what do you see in the years to come?
I see the continuing strengthening of the saints to stand alone, which they will need to do. I see stakes, multiple stakes, throughout the land of Cambodia. Elder Christofferson visited and spoke to the members, over 1,000 in Phnom Penh and 500 in Siem Reap, where we had no presence of the church except for 20 or 30 members 2 years ago, and left his apostolic blessing, which was a wonderful vision for the people. And it has had a strong effect on how they react and how they are striving to become. So I see tremendous growth. I see tremendous strengthening, and I see them becoming independent. And they're having a difficult time with that because they're quite dependent on the world with the aid that has come to Cambodia because of its tragic past. And to stand and become independent is a principle of the gospel of Jesus Christ that needs to be internalized, and we're seeing it take effect. And it will be, given the Lord's timetable and his strong hand as he brings that about.
Well, and the brethren have said, you know, the church has grown over generations. And as you begin to see that foundation as individuals change and then their families change, and then just a generation, you know, that foundation becomes so strong. And you can begin to see that movement gradually and changing everything. The same with the missionaries, individual missionaries. Those who may be immature 19-year-olds who come into the mission field and go home incredibly mature, having given of their all, and will be blessed forever by this experience. It's a marvelous thing that we have of being engaged in this work and of being able to be a part of it. And we appreciate so much your willingness to visit with us today. As we conclude, I think it'd be wonderful if we could hear your testimonies. And we'd like to begin by asking you, President, to share your testimony with us in English, and then Sister Weininger, if you'd share your testimony with us, and then perhaps, President, you could share your testimony with us in Cambodian.
I know that Heavenly Father lives and that He cares about all of His children, no matter where they live or what circumstances they're living under. I know that He loves them so much that He wants them back, and that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to atone for the sins and break the bonds of death. I know that as in ancient times we have prophets, and that Joseph Smith was a prophet, ushered in the Restoration, translated the Book of Mormon, and that we have a living prophet today, President Monson. I know that only the gospel will make us happy in this life and in the life to come. And it's the only thing that will save us individually, our families, and the world. I am grateful for the opportunity that I had to be a small part of this and build His kingdom in a little country in Asia. And I leave this testimony with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I guess my testimony is based on maybe a clearer vision of the depth to which the Lord works among the people of the world, among governments and nations, and how he shapes and directs his work. And the psalmist said that he who keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. And it is my testimony that his hand is stretched out. And it has been stretched out. There are missionaries being prepared now throughout the church and kingdom of our Father in heaven to serve in places in this great world where they only can do the work which needs to be done. And he is schooling them, and he is giving them experiences that they may meet their foreordained responsibilities in the mission field to serve him. He is shaping non-members. He is shaping government officials. His hand is moving on the hearts of men so that his purposes may be accomplished. And I am grateful and bear witness to the hand of the Lord in our lives, preparing us to become just a small part of that great plan that he controls so lovingly and kindly and so knowingly of all that will and can transpire. I know that God lives and that he directs his work, that Jesus is the very Christ, Son of the living God, and that the work is in his hands, and it will be done when he says it is done. It is up to carry the standard of truth forward. And I'm grateful for prophets of God who have seen clearly and who now see clearly and have stirred us that the work might be accomplished, stirred the work. And I bear witness of that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Kanyom, min omna gunda ban min oka tlang sakea pia prabo kanyom, haining tabu jia pia saka mai. Kanyom, tabu dibanto ta. Breh vô bê ta sùa, jia breh vô bê ta rabo buộc yung, kang bì nhìn, no pi bù bù lộc, bì môn pi bù bù lộc nì. Kinh yom, tà vơ tì bàn tô tha, buộc yung, jia gôn rabo breh. Kinh yom đừng tha, breh yê su kri, breh om cha, rabo truong, jia breh rìa chư bù tra rabo truong. Haining ban tabu dong vai tuan nam bai buok yung teng ok nia. Haining ban riep jom plo nam bai buok yung ai trlop ruano jia mui truong preh bobitar bo yung ma dong tiet. Kinyom ding ta Yosef Smith jia piye ka re ban kern preh vô bê ta nâng preh rìa chú bà tra. Kinh yom đừng ta, đào ai ca, tà vơ tàm, đào tàm preh bà nhà rà bò truông, buộc yương át, trọp rùa nô chìa mùi truông bà nông tiết. Kinh yom sôm tà vơ tì bàn tô ni, nâu gà nông preh niêm, nê preh Yêsu Kri. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. This is Into All the World on the Mormon Channel. We've been visiting today in the studio with President Bob and Sister Marianne Weiniger, who served as mission president in the Cambodia Phnom Penh mission. We appreciate so much the time you spent with us today. I'm your host, Tim Taggart.
You have been listening to Into All the World.